This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Spotlight on eWomen, the place for everything eWomen Network. Entrepreneur, enterprising, enlightening, and exciting. Please welcome your eWomen host, Phyllis Smith.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Spotlight on eWomen Network. Yes, I'm Phyllis Smith. So whether you are in business for yourself, working for someone, or even just looking for a job, you need to know how to present yourself and be able to captivate those to whom you are speaking. But for some people, that is as scary as jumping off a cliff into the abyss. But that's okay, because help is on the way. My guest today suffered from stage fright and knows how limiting it can be, but she got over it by taking acting classes and using her own intuition and training as a coach. Now she is one of our eWomen Network premier success coaches who works with people like you to overcome your own stage fright. So whether it's on a stage, presenting in a boardroom, or even introducing yourself at a networking event, Eva Lewandowski is here to help. So, Eva, thank you so much for joining us today.
And thank you, Phyllis, for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
So, first, let's start with, what is stage fright exactly?
Well, you know, there's kind of a common definition around stage fright, which is just nervousness when presenting. But I really like to look at it in a broader context. It's more around a fear of being vulnerable, of being seen, of being judged. And so it's our fear of just having other people really look at us. It's our fear of stepping into the spotlight. So typically what happens is there's, you know, when you think of stage fright, you think of people not being able to get on stage, or they lose their train of thought, or they start to shake, they start to sweat. But I see it as even more of that. It can be that fear, is, you know, to hit the button to post your blog out there, or to let someone take a look at your artwork, or to let someone, you know, see the first chapter of your book. I see that as a way it just holds us back. And a lot of times people think it's the difference between, like, extroversion and introversion, and I don't think that's true at all. I'm really extroverted, but yet I've got really bad stage fright, and I've known people that are introverted that love getting up on stage. So it really doesn't have that type of a designation. It can happen to anybody at any time.
That's interesting, because what you're really describing, a fear of vulnerability, a fear of being judged, that starts way back in a person's life, doesn't it?
Well, it really does, and I really didn't think of stage fright that way until I started really diving into it. And for me, I actually, when I was a little kid, I liked getting up on stage. I was a tap dancer. I liked to dance. I liked being on stage. But junior year in high school, I got up to do a presentation, and all of a sudden my voice started to shake. And it scared me. I had never had that happen to me before. And it just got progressively worse. So all through college, it would just get worse. I would get up to talk, and I would be shaking. And then when I got to my career, I was working downtown in Chicago at a big corporation, and I could feel the nerves start coming up. I would start turning red. I actually had a friend of mine one time told me, he said to me, you know, Eve, if you're going to present in a meeting, you can't turn red, especially if you're not telling the truth. Well, it wasn't that I wasn't telling the truth. I was telling the truth, but I was always ready to throw myself under the bus. So if I felt like I was presenting myself in like a better light, then I would turn red. So it looked like I wasn't telling the truth. And it was just got worse and worse and worse. And so I just could not figure out how to get past it. And here I was, I'm someone that's 5'11", so I'm kind of an intimidating presence anyway, and I would put on my 4-inch high heels and my 80s power suits, and I would walk into meetings, and I would be scared to death, but I just looked so intimidating, and I could get kind of a mean look on my face that people kind of, you know, didn't really question me, but I knew that I was scared inside.
So,
it was tough.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I've never, it's funny because, you know, I've heard it described that when you were talking earlier about introverted and extroverted. I've heard it described, mm-hmm. you can tell the difference that when somebody is going through a tough time, would they rather be alone or would they rather be around other people? And so the introvert would rather be alone. And my son is a psychology major, actually recently learned that and told me about that. And the truth is, I think I would rather be alone or with a very close friend. I love to get on stage. I have absolutely no problem whatsoever, not just presenting to people, meeting new people. And I think a lot might have to do for me personally is my parents were in a business where they were taking us around, my brother and I, and we were constantly having to meet new people and constantly
having
to present ourselves as the daughter and son of my parents. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was the training that I got. It's so interesting that you say that, but when you say that when you were in junior high or middle school is what they call it here in Texas, and you suddenly found for the first time you suddenly had stage fright, what was going on for you then? And is it that you had that one bad experience that just snowballed into your lack of confidence every time you got on stage?
Yeah, it did seem to snowball. And what happened at the time, you know, it was a while ago, right, Phyllis? but, you know, I remember in my head that I just remember being really scared. Like, what is this? Like, why am I shaking? Like, what's the big deal? I couldn't quite figure out, like, what my problem was. But what I found was after that, since I had this experience, it kind of kept building on itself. So then the next time I went to talk, it happened again. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, what is this? And I'm an only child, but my parents are immigrants from Poland. Both of them had gone through the war. My mother was 8 when the Russians came. And, like, where she used to live is Russia now. It's not even Poland anymore. My dad was 16 and fought in the resistance. They met in Chicago. But the reason I bring that up is because it was always around being tough. And no matter any kind of issue that I may have, I mean, my parents are great people, don't get me wrong, but any issue that I would have, it was always that their issues were worse, right? So, you know, if you're scared, well, you don't know what scared is. If you're hungry, well, you don't know what hungry is, right? So after a while, you just kind of bury it. So there was no one to really talk to about it. And I didn't know anyone else that was really experiencing it. So it just felt like I felt very alone. And I felt very isolated in it. And I just thought that there's something really weird going on with me and why is this happening? And as it got worse, you know, every year in college and then when I went into my career and I started working, it just got worse and worse and worse because what happens is you start anticipating it. Am I going to shake? Am I going to start shaking when I get to talk? And I think the anticipation is almost worse than what's actually happening.
Yeah. You, I mentioned earlier in the introduction that you went to acting school. Did someone say to you, you know, you should go to acting school, or you always had a desire to act? And how did that help you with your stage fright?
Well, it was funny. It actually, at the time I went to take acting classes, I was not thinking about it as a way to get over my stage fright. You know, I was in my late 30s already, and I had not acted prior to that. I mean, I did a little bit of acting in high school, but that was it, nothing in college. And for some reason, I was asked to be the voice of our voicemail system at work. And it got into my head that I wanted to do voiceover. And I was telling my stylist as he was cutting my hair, and the next thing I knew, this acting school in Chicago, that was it's a big time acting school in Chicago, actually. It's where actors go to act. Called me, the administrative assistant. I guess she got her hair cut with JD as well. And she called me and she said, you know, he told me to sign you up for class, but you have to audition. So I went and I auditioned and I did very well in the audition, having no clue what I was doing. And it just sprung forward from there. And I started taking acting and I realized that I loved it so much that it was almost overriding my fear. So it wasn't that I didn't have fear, but A, I had other people's words. B, voiceover, no one really sees you on camera. You just have the script. And it was so much fun. So I took acting, improv, on camera, everything. And I started to realize it was getting easier and easier and easier for me to get up in front of the group. But more than that, it was getting easier for me to let out my personality. Mm. And that, to me, is the key.
Yeah, to really tap into your personality. You know, that it's like when we're born and we're little kids and we start growing up, we tend to, you know, life gets in our way and bullies happen and teachers get nasty and things just start to happen when we're in the elementary school years that start whittling away at that confidence. I really think we're born with confidence. We're born thinking we're fabulous. And then life tells us right along the way, you're not, you know, but you really are. You just have to tap into it, right? So now listen, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, you're going to give us some powerful tips on how to overcome your stage fright working from the inside out. So stay tuned with Eva Lewandowski.
Hi, this is Steve Kidd, the host of Thriving Entrepreneur. You can listen to us Tuesdays, noon Eastern, on the EWN Radio Network. I want you to know you are uniquely brilliant, created for a purpose. The world needs you, and we want to help. Listen to me and my guest Tuesdays, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, on the EWN Radio Network as we help you learn how you can be a thriving entrepreneur.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
We're back. This is Spotlight on eWomen with Phyllis Smith.
And welcome back. Speaking with Eva Lewandowski. And she is an eWomen Network premier success coach and works with people to help them overcome their stage fright. And she was just telling us about how she suffered from stage fright for a good part of her life until in her late 30s, she took an acting class. And then that acting class led to all kinds of things like, learning to be in front of a camera and you know, all kinds of different ways, being on a stage, film. And so, and that changed everything for her. So, Eva, what do you say for people who, do you recommend that everybody take an acting class, even, at some point, if they do have stage fright?
Well, I do, except that I want them first to start looking at a couple of things first, right? So when I look at people and I think about stage fright, and I was looking at my own stage fright, because I did take acting class, but it didn't completely remove my stage fright at that point. And I will be honest, I mean, there's still times that I get a little nervous, but it's not that debilitating fear that I used to have. Because a little bit of nerves is actually good. It gives you a little bit of excitement in your voice. You're on your game a little more. A little adrenaline rushing through your body is not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. But what I find, too, is that a lot of times when I'm working with people, they're not letting themselves out. And we kind of talked about that before the break. So it really is about letting yourself out. And even if you're someone that likes getting up on stage, but maybe your presentations aren't all that great, a lot of times it's because you're not letting your own personality shine through. So at first, when I start working with people, tell them to start looking at how they can release their own personality, and then when we go through a couple of these other things, like first becoming aware as to what's scaring you, learning how to release that, I then suggest maybe an improv class or an acting class. And I do workshops where I actually do incorporate some improv, and everybody really likes that. They're scared to death at first. It's actually kind of funny. When we first do the first improv, I do a very simple exercise where I have them go around a circle, and I just say one word to make a story. But it doesn't have to be coherent. You know, it can be like the other day. Each person just says one word. And what I find is in the beginning, everyone is like arms crossed, arms folded, looking angry, really concentrating, freaking out. I'm like, oh my gosh, if you don't know what to say, just say shoes, drop your arms. So first, before I tell anybody to take acting, I first want to work on the inside and then move into taking improv or acting.
So if I was your client and you were trying to pull out my personality, what are kind of some of the things you might say to me to help me tap into that?
Well, first, what I would want you to do is I want you to visualize a situation that scares you. So let's say maybe it's even just speaking up in a meeting. I know as an IT consultant, we were in a lot of contentious client meetings during implementations, right? So maybe that's what scares you. You don't really have opportunities to get up and present, but maybe just talking in a meeting scares you. So I want you to first, like, sit back, picture yourself in the conference room or whatever the situation is that scares you, and visualize that. Because the fear will start coming up. And as that fear comes up, what is the voice in your head saying to you? What is it telling you? Is it that you don't know yourself? You're not good enough. Everybody's smarter than me. I'm going to look stupid. I know I'm going to start shaking. First, take a look at that, at what's scaring you. Because when we let go of that fear, the personality automatically starts coming out. Now, if it's someone that doesn't have a lot of fear, when I ask them, I say, well, tell me your story. Why do you want to share this information with someone? What is it about this information that makes you want to share it? And more times than not, that's when I start getting what the real story is behind the story that they're presenting to the world. And that's the one that's powerful. That's when the personality comes out. That's when either they either start laughing or they start misting up or they even get angry. That's what you want to see. That's what makes a great presentation.
Absolutely. When you really see who they are and you have a passion behind what your message is, what you're saying, you have to believe in it. And first, it sounds like what you're saying is you've got to believe in yourself first. When somebody is presenting to you that fear, like verbalizing the fear, say, of getting up in a room, or even raising their hand to chime in in a staff meeting. When they tell you about their fear, is it just the speaking of the fear that will help them release it once they put words to it? Is that how they let that go?
It helps a little bit, but no. I mean, this is where I kind of get into people with a little bit of neuroscience. And now, of course, I'm not a neuroscientist. But I always talk about the conscious mind versus the subconscious mind, right? So the conscious mind is our thoughts. It's what we're thinking. But what happens is in the subconscious mind, those are our feelings, and those are housed in our bodies. So subconscious mind helps us breathe. Well, subconscious mind also starts kicking in adrenaline and scaring us, even though our mind might be telling us, no, I really want to do this. Our subconscious mind then comes in and starts saying, No, remember that last time you did this? And it gives you a knot in the pit of your stomach, or it starts you shaking. So some people will say, well, if you do a lot of affirmations or if you just start powering through, that will help you start moving through these emotions in your body. And it can, but I've found a couple of different techniques that work better. And for me, I'm trained in and certified in emotional freedom technique, which is also known as tapping. And I don't know if you've heard of tapping or not.
I have.
You have, and do you like it?
I've done it. I actually did an interview with somebody who does it, and it was really interesting. It did. He walked me through an experience that I had that was made me angry, and with a friend, and we walked through it, and I felt that it really did work.
Yeah,
but for those people who don't know what it is, explain it.
Well, I'm just going to give a really high-level explanation of it. Basically, it works like, we call it emotional acupressure. So it works on the meridian points in the body, and there's 9 points that we actually just very lightly tap on with 2 fingers as we're saying what's bothering us. And the point of doing the tapping as we're talking about what's bothering us is to then release that energy from our body, to release that fear that's in us. And most of the time, things can happen when we're very young that kind of sits in our body. You know, I'm 57 years old. Stuff can happen to me when I'm 9 that I'm still thinking about when I'm 57. Mm-hmm. And this tapping can help release that. I mean, I actually found when I was in certification training, we tapped on an issue that I thought was no big deal. They asked for a volunteer. It was something that happened with my dad in my early 20s. Got up in front of the room, and she started tapping with me, and all of a sudden, I was a mess, and I had not anticipated that. And then the next thing you knew, like that memory never came up for me again. Or when I think about it, it doesn't have any kind of an emotional feeling behind it. And that's what tapping does. It helps to release that. Now, other people like breath work, like saying what the issue is and then breathing into it. I don't know breath work, but I know that there's other people that work with breath work. So anything that you can find that will help you release those emotions from the body is where you first need to start working, because just powering through doesn't really work. It just sort of reiterates that same issue over and over and over again. You really want to use a modality that helps you release that issue.
Yeah. Now, I'm also a yoga certified yoga teacher, and of course, breath work is one of the major components of the practice. And I can tell you from breathing that there is this big old nerve right at the base of our skull that's attached to our internal organs, but it's called the vagus nerve, and it's also what triggers our parasympathetic nervous system, which is our rest and relaxation. And so when you take long exhalations, so you breathe in, if you make your exhalations longer than your inhalations, that triggers the parasympathetic, which helps you relax and helps you focus and let go. And you can even use words like, you know, breathe in the fear, but then let it go. You can even say those words, let it go. So those are definitely a couple good, but it's important, especially if you're doing the tapping. You just made reference that you were a basket case. And so if somebody is going to do this, I would highly recommend that you do it with someone who knows how it works, so that if you do get to a place where you are a basket case, there's someone there that can help you and guide you and work you through it. Am I correct?
Yes, I would absolutely agree with that. And also, if for some reason you find yourself doing it on yourself and you find yourself really becoming, your emotions becoming very heightened, just keep tapping. Just keep tapping. And it will come down, because even though I said I became a basket case, I should also say that within just like less than a minute, I was out of it. It was pretty powerful. It was really powerful. It really was a true relief. But it is, like you said, important to either work with a practitioner, especially if you have deep trauma, or if you're working on it on your own and you find that suddenly you've been triggered, to always just keep tapping.
So the main thing then, what I'm hearing you say, is the first and foremost, what works in helping you overcome stage fright. And I use the word stage loosely, because it's really just any time you have to either get up in front of somebody, or even picking up a phone, you know, and cold calling or introducing yourself, going to a networking event, you know, that I have no problem introducing myself to people, but there is a, you know, a kind of like little thing you get in your throat and you're like, okay, there's a person and I'm going to go over to them. You kind of talk yourself into it, but there are people that can't even put that one foot in front of the other. And so, but what you're saying really, the first and foremost is awareness. You've got to get to the place of what it is that is causing that fear.
Right. That's exactly right. I mean, it's first around awareness, and that's where the visualization that I talked about earlier really helps. It's like you really want to understand what the fear is and what is it that's scaring you. And, you know, if we don't want to say it as stage fright, I also like to call it just stepping into the spotlight, right? Whenever all eyes are on us, and it could be just you're introducing yourself, just like you said, it's just you and this other person. You know, I'm one that I like meeting a lot of people. I have no problem with that. I like being in groups, but then for some reason when I get up in front of the group, it triggers something different. So starting to become aware of, A, when your triggers are, what scares me, right? And then so it, meeting people doesn't scare me, no trigger there, but getting up in front of the group, that does scare me. So visualize that again. Think about what it is that scares you and write it down. Get it down on paper because then you can start working on releasing it.
So I see three W's here. When, W, first W for when does it happen, W for what happens, and then W for write it down, the three W's.
I love that. I hadn't thought of that, Phyllis.
There you go.
I'm stealing that from you.
You got it, girl. Go ahead and steal all you want. Rob and duplicate, as Sandra Yancey says.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you are there other tools that people could use besides going to a coach like yourself? But if they don't have a coach, if they even, you know, let's just say there's people out there that might not have a job and they have to go for interviews and they're really struggling right now for money. What would you say would be the first thing that those people can do right now after they finish listening to our conversation? What can they do immediately that, you know, to help them that begin that journey?
Well, I have a couple of things. So the first thing, if you have the time, it was the awareness. Then once you're aware and you have it written down, then you go through the release using EFT or breath work or whatever modality you find. But if you don't have the time to even do that, the biggest thing is practice. Because once you go through awareness and release, you have to start practicing. And I like using my phone, the video on my phone, or even just the audio on my phone, and just practice what you're going to say. So if you're going into an interview, what would you say? If they ask you, you know, why are you here? Why are you interviewing for this position? What would you say? Come up with questions that you think that you'll be asked. Now, it's not about memorizing that because we don't want to memorize. We want to get into a position where we're just practicing what we would say, how we would say it, and then listen back. How does it sound? And I always recommend that when you listen to yourself, you listen to yourself for at least 3 or 4 times before you put any judgment on it. Because there's this little phenomenon where everybody hates the way they sound and the way they look. And so you need to get past that first, listen to yourself a few times, and then critique it. Am I talking too fast? Am I talking too slow? Typically, we talk too fast. So if you feel yourself stumbling over words, just slow down. It will feel really slow to you, and to the person that you're talking to, it's going to sound perfect. And the other thing that I like to talk about, too, is watch what you eat and drink. If you're wired a little on the hotter side, like I am with nerves, no caffeine, no sugar, no alcohol 24 hours before your interview or your presentation. So if you know you've got a networking event or you're meeting someone or you're going into an interview, really clean up your diet right before you go. That one tip in my workshop, I've had so many people say to me, you know, I didn't have my normal amount of caffeine in the morning, and I wasn't as nervous when I went to present. Because you don't need that caffeine punch. You know, you don't need that sugar high. You don't need the caffeine high because your adrenaline's doing that for you. So don't put more fuel on that fire. And the one other thing I would say, too, is do I have time for two more tips?
One more.
one more. Okay, so the bigger one I would say is grounding. All you have to do is just put your feet in the ground and really feel yourself shooting energy into the core of the earth. Feel yourself kind of getting rooted in place. And then just go and relax from the top of your head. Just tell yourself to relax each part of your body and then shoot that energy into the ground. You'll find that you're feeling much more solid and much more in control.
Beautiful. And I'm just going to add one more thing in terms of breath work. Try this. Breathe in, let's say three counts. Just count to three, breathe in, and exhale. Double that on the exhale. Breathe in three, exhale six. And before you know it, I'm telling you, three breaths and you'll be calm and grounded. And add that to what you just described as putting your feet into the earth and really feel that breath moving through your body all the way down into the earth to help you feel grounded. Eva Lewandowski, thank you so much. We have run out of time. If you want to work with Eva or just connect with her to explore possible solutions, visit our website at ewomennetwork.com and click on the Premier Success Coaches link. Also, just FYI, when you become a member of eWomen Network, you get two free coaching sessions. That's two free from any of our Premier Success Coaches. So, and they all specialize in different things. It's one of our many benefits once you join. So thank you, Eva, so much. And thank you all for listening. Until next time.
Time's up for now. If you want more enlightening conversations that could change your life, visit EWNRadioNetwork.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.